Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1241 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday will be mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from the book with the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week, we will explore two additional insights. Today, we'll look at mastering the Bible and unknown authors. So, insight number 7. Most of the authors of the biblical books are unknown. It goes without saying that understanding a book requires knowing who wrote it. This is especially true of nonfiction, where the author's background, political and religious views, and education help to frame what we are reading. Unfortunately, few ancient books, including the books of the Bible, specifically name their author. Most of the authorship problems as it relates to the Bible concerns the Old Testament. For example, we have no idea who wrote books like Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. These books never name an author. Even the books who bear the name of people are uncertain for the same reason. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel never claim that Samuel wrote them. The same goes for Ruth, Esther, and Joshua. Some Old Testament books have a partially known authorship, but that means that parts of it are problematic. Psalms is a good example. The Psalm superscriptions were likely added long after the Psalms were composed, so they aren't really reliable indicators. Phrases like the Psalm of David are actually inconclusive since the Hebrew phrase La David can mean by David, for David, or about David. The New Testament is less anonymous. For instance, the author of the book of Hebrews is unknown. Scholars argue about a few other books that claim authorship, such as 1 and 2 Peter. But arguments contesting Peter's authorship are not at all conclusive. Since there are more than one James and John's associated with the life of Jesus, there is some degree of ambiguity for the books bearing those names. Because authorship is uncertain, it is best in interpretation never to base an interpretation on a presumed author. Guessing at the author and then presuming the person's background as a part of interpretation is shaky strategy. Because of the lack of clarity, scholars have had to work to find clues in the books themselves that situate them in the flow of biblical history. Things like allusions to events outside of Israel, such as a battle, or an environmental catastrophe, such as a famine, or even natural disasters, such as an earthquake, are important clues. Even without the author, if scholars can situate a book in a specific historical context, the book can be coherently interpreted. For this reason, whenever you study a book of the Bible, it is wise to read a serious academic introduction to it that deals with the authorship, the settings, and questions of circumstance. You can't assume to know how to situate a book just by its title. And let's move on to the 8th insight, which is, the Bible is a product of its time. Saying the Bible is a product of its time takes us into the tricky, and for the most part mind-numbing, subject of biblical chronology. Taking the Bible in its own terms means coming to grips with the fact that the biblical writers were influenced by current and past events. The content of the Bible ostensibly spans from creation to the end of time as we know it. But that's not really what Dr. Heiser is talking about. Dr. Heiser is referring to the chronological boundaries for the writings of the Bible, the times in which its authors and editors lived. In round numbers, if one presumes Moses had a hand in writing any part or all of the Torah, the beginning of the biblical composition would have to occur in roughly 1050 BC. the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, would have been composed around AD 100. That's roughly a 1,500-year span. What's going on in that span? And how do we get these numbers? Those questions are related. The Bible doesn't provide us any real-time dating of events. In other words, it doesn't tell us explicitly that an Old Testament event occurred 700 years before Christ, or that Paul wrote something 3 decades after the resurrection. The Bible instead gives us a relative chronology, what happened before or after the situation. In addition, the Bible doesn't date its events by astronomical events, the way true real-time chronology must be calculated, since time is measured by the motion of the Earth around its sun and the appearance of moons and stars in relationship to the Earth's own spin. Absolute chronology, actual numerical dates, is assigned to biblical events on the basis of synchronism between people and events in the Bible that can be correlated with the records of other ancient civilizations that did keep time by astronomy. Thousands of such records have survived. Tables of lunar cycles and celestial observations that modern astronomers can reproduce to align ancient records with actual time. When something in the Bible correlates to an ancient record, we can fix the Bible in real time. Correlations have a progressively high degree of accuracy and certainty, moving from about 1000 BC forward. Events earlier than 1000 BC have less certainty because astronomical records are fewer and less consistent. There's also simply less chronological materials from places like Mesopotamia and Egypt for reconstructing their own history. There are gaps, for example, in the list of kings and the number of years that they reigned. Situating a Bible in real time allows biblical scholars to know how events in the Bible align with events in Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, Rome, and other civilizations. Political upheavals, droughts, famines, wars, and natural disasters sometimes become factors in what biblical writers say and why they say it. Time is, therefore, an important context for taking the Bible on its own terms. We should not neglect it. While knowing some of the authorships and the timeline events of the Bible helps us to understand certain aspects, they do not control the overriding purpose of the Bible, which is God's story of reconciliation to His fallen human family. There is a time for everything, as we are told in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And that will conclude our lesson for this week on another 2 insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with additional 2 insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,240 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend, as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.